Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest is on a mission to help thousands of business owners shift their mindsets and habits so God can transform their hearts. He is a coach, writer, and workshop presenter. And he has a new book coming out called Sage Leadership, a four-part framework for becoming a people first leader. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Mr. Kyle Gillette. Welcome, Kyle.
Hey, Jackie. Thank you so much. I appreciate the introduction. And I sound very accomplished and professional and all that. And I feel like I am, but at the same time, it's a little bit humbling to hear those terms about the book and that kind of stuff, because so much of it was not ultimately from me. And a lot of it was inspired from God. And so it's really cool to be able to speak about that on your show, because on other shows, I don't get to be quite as open about that aspect of what I do and how important that is to me. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I have to hear your story because you revealed to me that your process or thinking about how you should approach this was revealed to you by God as you were driving your car one day. Can you tell people your story?
Yeah. So let me back us up to college, actually, and I'll go quickly through this. But when I was in college, just before I was graduating, I was about 30 pounds overweight and very lost in my life and didn't know what to do after graduating. I think I was terrified of stepping into the real world. And so I was stressed and overeating and just a mess. And I called my parents and they tried to comfort me. But a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call from a friend, John, and he and I had gone on a missions trip to India together for 10 or so days. And we became good friends. And then we both came back and he called me and said, "Hey, there's an opening at a men's mentoring program that I think you'd be a good fit for." And I said, "Well, what is this thing?" So he explained it to me. And I went to the interview, drove onto this really idyllic property in Central California or Central Valley. Central Coast, excuse me, of California, and drove up to the property and walked up to the front door, knocked on it, and met the president and the director of the program. And we interviewed for an hour and a half. And the whole time that I was interviewing, I felt like God was pushing me into the couch that I was sitting on. I felt like I just was supposed to be there. Well, after the interview, Jack, the president, asked me if I wanted the job, which meant I would move into this program where I'd live with these guys that are 18 to 25. That they themselves were off track in life. And I said, yes, knowing that I myself was off track in life and I was going to have to get things switched around and fixed up in my life to even have a leg to stand on, to be a witness to these guys, to be a mentor to them. That program ended up being a 9-year path for me. I was in it in various capacities for 9 years and mentored the whole time. So while I was mentored, I learned the world of business because I ran one of the businesses that the program had, and then I ended up running the whole program as well. So that was the very beginning of understanding that what God put in me is a heart to mentor, a heart to coach and to serve people. After I got married and had some kids, we moved to the Pacific Northwest and I lost all that. And it was actually pretty devastating. It took me a year and a half to actually get over it. But once I finally got over it, I ended up getting a job at a church as an HR director. So I worked at a mega church. There's 100 employees, 3,000 attendees. Cool job. And it introduced me to a personality framework called DISC. But it wasn't mine. I couldn't do whatever I wanted with it. And I felt the prompting of God to say, "Hey, there's something for you. I have something for you, something that you can do whatever you want with." And I didn't know what that was. And I spent a lot of time thinking about it and trying to figure out how I could take this own tool that was mine and put it out to the world and impact business owners, just like the vision statement that you shared. And one morning, it was 3 a.m. in the morning, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard God say to me the words self-awareness. And it clicked. I went, "Oh my gosh, that's what I need to create this SAGE acronym." So I jumped out of bed, sat down at the table in the kitchen. And for the next 4 hours, I just sat there scribbling down the beginnings of what would become SAGE, which stands for self-awareness, accountability, growth, and empowerment. And that was the start of my journey to getting to this point. And the vision piece is another thing altogether I can talk about later.
Yeah, I love it. And I think sometimes God puts us in the exact situation that we need to be in so it can help propel us. And that's what he did with your situation. So many times we think, I'm not qualified for this. Why are you choosing me for this? You got the wrong person. But the reality is, oftentimes what we need, we also need to give to other people. And that is what I heard in your story. So you mentioned Sage. Can you tell us more about it? And you actually have a book coming out soon. Can you tell us about its release and what people should expect?
Yeah, for me, one of the reasons that drew me to go to the Pacific Northwest, besides my wife's family and that whole picture, was I wanted to have the type of impact on people out here like I was in the men's mentoring program. But this time around, I felt very called to be able to coach and mentor people that are business owners, because the multiplying effect of that is huge. Mm. I think the rebirth of people coming to know the Lord is going to happen in the marketplace quite a bit. It's going to happen in churches as well, but it's the marketplace where leaders get to be that witness. And so I want to come alongside those business owners and either A, help them to find the Lord, or B, help them to dive deeper into their relationship with him. Mm-hmm. So my coaching isn't necessarily fixed around helping people to know God more. It's helping them to get their mindsets and habits dialed in so that God can transform their hearts, because mm-hmm. that's up to God, right? I can assist them in the process and water and plant seeds and that kind of thing, but God's the one that does the transforming. For me, Sage is a framework that helps make that possible. In a secular way, it's helpful for business growth and development and all that, but in a mm-hmm. spiritual way, it's super helpful for the person as a whole. And the way I describe it is like a leadership house, where self-awareness is the foundation to your leadership. If you don't have high levels of self-awareness, you can't lead well, you can't grow in your faith as well, you can't grow as a person as well, because you don't know yourself too well. And the Bible talks about love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it's hard to love your neighbor if you don't know yourself. So it's foundational yeah. to great leadership. Accountability is the nails that hold your leadership house together. Without mm-hmm. accountability, we've seen in the church, unfortunately, big leaders fall. You know, recently I've read about certain people that they've done stupid things, let's just say, and that crushed the leadership, that crushed their leadership. And more importantly, it crushed the leadership of those around them. And that's devastating, but that was a lack of accountability. So if you don't have that, your leadership house will not stand, and neither can you. Then growth is the walls and the roof. And what I mean by that is it's the structure. It's the idea that as Christians, especially, I'm so tired of Christians talking about their worry and their stress and their anxiety and their all these things. It's like, we have the fruit of the Spirit. We're made to grow and have a growth mindset, to be moving forward, to be our lives being transformed by him, the God of the universe. But often I hear Christians have this fixed mindset. So the growth mindset in leadership house is those walls that need remodeling, the adjusting of your leadership yeah. house to fit these changes that God puts in us and the circumstances that come with that. Empowerment is the windows and doors. So this is where, when you're the leader, people see into your leadership and they observe it and they watch you, just like we get watched as believers. And they watch how you act, how you behave, how you lead, how you influence. And they want a part of that, whether it's in the business world or just spiritually, they want a part of that. And so they join you. They walk into that door and join you. But it's also the windows and doors for people that are already being led by you, mentored, discipled, whatever, however you're leading them. They look out those windows and they go, wait, there's an opportunity for me to be that type of leader and me to step out. Mm-hmm. And so they walk out that door, but they do it with your blessing and your encouragement, because you've been empowering them all along to become the leaders they're meant to be. So that's the framework. And I could talk about the book in a minute here, but that's the breakdown of how the Sage house looks and what leadership as a Sage leader looks like as well.
Yeah. And what do you say to people that say, oh, Christianity and business don't go hand to hand?
I'm in a world where the people that I coach and the people that I interact with most, whether they're believers or not, they get the value of that wisdom. Mm. There's so much wisdom, obviously, in Jesus. There's so much wisdom in what he can provide us for our businesses And that's what even people that don't believe at all, that's what they want. They want wisdom to run their business really well. So if you want the wisdom to run your business well, tap into the best wisdom that there ever was or ever will be.
Yeah.
And that's God. And the way that I challenge people that are believers or not believers is I encourage them to have what I call a CEO meeting. Every Monday morning at 8 a.m., I meet with Jesus for 30 minutes. And all we do is I pray, we talk a little bit, you know, talk in quotes, but we have our conversations. Yeah. I ask him questions. I get frustrated. You know, I do everything that you would if you're talking to your real boss, if you have that deep relationship with them. And I meet with God for 90 or 30 minutes, and it's all about setting the tone for my week. And so I challenge my clients, whether they're believers or not, to do the same thing and to pray. Go for it. Pray. And if they do, that's great. If they don't, that's fine as well. But I know it's on their mind. And I know now that every morning on Mondays at 8 a.m., they're going to feel a little conviction to connect with the God of the universe, whether they believe or don't. So that's typically my diplomatic response when people don't want to pursue God in the business world.
Yeah, I would definitely say you're letting your light shine. And so often people want to be so hardcore when it comes to Christianity. They want to separate business from Christianity, but all you have to do is be an example. And I love the way that you're leading people and then allow them to make the choice. We don't have to stuff anything down anybody's throat. Just present the information and allow them to make the choice. So
yeah, and sorry to interrupt you, but 100% the easy thing here is pray.
Yeah.
Just pray for the people that you're getting to influence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can pray with them, which is a beautiful thing. I've prayed every single client that I have. I make a point to pray with them on a call. Now, maybe it's multiple calls because they're believers or they're more open to that, or maybe it's just one call. But I make a point to pray with them one-to-one on a Zoom call or in person. And if they're not believers or if they are, I'm always praying for them. I try to be on my knees before coaching calls for a few minutes, praying for them and whatever else God brings to mind, because that's the movement of the Spirit. That's how our businesses are going to shape the world and shape the lives of those that we're leading, spiritually speaking. If we're not in prayer, we don't have the source. It's not us. And so I need to remain in prayer. Plus, I'm going to provide a better service, or for those that produce a product, you're going to provide a better product when you're interacting with Jesus in this. So why not? It's 2 minutes of your time. And that's the way that I've approached it. I'm not perfect at it. And I screw it up. I forget to do it. I get in too big of a hurry, but that's the intention. And I usually get down on those knees. I land in that way before phone calls and conversations with clients.
And what would you say to the Christian business owner that's listening to this right now? How do they go about attaining that boldness to pray for their clients?
Yeah. You mean on the actual conversation with them?
Yes.
Yeah. You have to ask questions. And what I mean by that is get to know the person, whether they're a prospect or a client that you've been working with for a long time, or a customer that you've known for a long time, or someone in your workplace. People love questions. We love to talk about ourselves. We love to share our thoughts and our heart. And last night, my wife and I were watching this documentary that the Chosen folks did. And it was a documentary about Gen Z and what their responses and reactions were to the Chosen. And it was kind of a blind thing where they hadn't really heard of the Chosen or hadn't seen it before. Mm-hmm. And there was 9 people in this documentary that all watched it simultaneously in a room together, and they discussed it. And these folks started to reveal things about themselves to each other and also to the interviewers. And every one of them were so broken. They had so much brokenness in their life, broken families. There was at least 3 people that had contemplated suicide. There was a ton of abuse in the lives of these people. One of the guys was in a cult. This is Gen Z, which is a lot of who's coming into the workplace right now. Mm-hmm. All they needed was someone to say, we care about what's happened in your life, and ask some questions. And that turns into an opportunity to be an encouragement to them, which eventually can turn into an opportunity to pray with them. And who knows what's going to come of that. So 1, ask questions. 2, be with them one-to-one if you can. Obviously be appropriate if it's an opposite gender and all those things, but take someone to coffee if you can, if that mm-hmm. works, or have a brief conversation in their office that shows you care about their life. And if that's not who you are naturally, where you're just talkative and want to know about people's personal lives, pray that you get that way, because their salvation is more important than your personal preferences when it comes to communicating with people. So that's what I would say is number one, you got to pray, of course. Number two, ask powerful questions about who they are, what their lives are about, meaningful questions. And then lastly, spend a little bit of time with them while still being careful to not make it feel awkward for them, because you are in authority over them.
Mm-hmm. I love it, Cal. I love it. Now, your book is coming out soon. Can you tell people about its release?
Yeah, so we're going to be launching first week of September is the plan here, and then it will publish towards October, early October. You can grab a hold of it in Amazon, Ingram Spark, all these other places, bookstores, that kind of thing. And the reason that I wrote the book was after coaching people for 4 years and doing that mentoring program for 9 years, I went, wait a second, this is about mindsets and habits. Mm-hmm. When it comes to SAGE and when it comes to becoming the leader you're meant to be, which is what I talk about a lot in the book, is it's about your mindsets and habits. God asks us to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. He asks us to take control of our minds. It says in the scripture, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, right? So we've got our physical bodies, our mental or our thought life, our emotional life. And there's one other one in there that I'm forgetting for some reason, but we have all those components that God wants us to surrender to Him. So the habits are going to kind of cover the emotional and the physical, and the mindsets are going to cover that mental and that thought life and the spiritual life as well. Because that's, you know, our minds are how we connect with the Lord. So in the book, I cover a bunch of mindsets and habits to help people become more self-aware. 5 mindsets and habits to help people become more self-aware. 5 mindsets and habits to help people be more accountable. Same thing with growth and empowerment. And I walk people through that process with stories from my life, with parables and metaphors, and then also with scripture in some cases. I'm trying to be gentle with that part of it to introduce people that aren't believers to that and help them to see the wisdom of scripture. And then for those that are believers, they're going to latch onto it. I got stories about David. I've got stuff from James on how to listen well and mm-hmm. careful with that tongue of ours.
Yeah.
So all of it's there as a guide, as a way to move people towards the mindsets and habits that will help them become the leaders God has really designed them to be. And it was an amazing experience to write the book, and it's been an amazing experience to share with people about it. But what I'm most excited about is what's going to happen as people get their hands on it and get all the benefits from reading that book. Because ultimately it moves towards helping people become people first focus, because that's what mm-hmm. Jesus wants for us. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So how do I do that? And this is a way to go about it through these mindsets and habits.
Yeah. So regardless if you're a business owner or doing something else, we have been called to love people, to look at them as people first, look beyond their faults and see truly what their needs are, just as God has looked at us and looked beyond our faults and saw what our needs are. Man, it's powerful stuff, Cal, powerful stuff. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, the best way is through my website, sagemindset.com. You can connect with me directly, set up a call with me. We can have a conversation, and not for the sake of coaching you, but just I'd love to connect with people. That's why I've always done people work. So I love to connect with people. Also, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can just type in Sage Mindset and on Google, and you'll find my Instagram, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, and also my own podcast. So check that out. And that's the best way to connect with me, though, is definitely through setting up a conversation with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that information. Now, Cal, as we end this interview today, we want to leave the people with one word. Out of everything that you have said here today, what is the one thing that people need to take away from this interview?
When you asked me that question as a preface before we started the interview, immediately what came to mind was ask questions. And I think that's still applicable. I think that's still what I want to say. But instead of the way I was originally thinking, I think God has tweaked it a little bit in my head. And he's telling me to share with you guys, ask him questions about the people that you lead. Ask him, what's the best way I can serve this person that I'm leading? What's the best way that I can interact with this person? What's the best resources I could provide for this employee to help them, etc.? Asking God questions about the people you work with to get, ask him for the insights about them so you can serve them best. And of course, you can ask him questions about your business as well and the best way to run your business on the quote things side of things. But definitely inquire of the God of the universe, the things that he wants to share with you about the people that you get to influence.
Yeah, love it. Kyle, thank you so much for sharing with us today. CWS audience, the challenge is issued. You have to start asking questions. Ask God questions. If you are leading in any type of way, and every one of us are leading in some type of way, whether it is in business, in church, a separate ministry, your family, your mother, father, or even a sibling, ask God questions so that you can know how to best serve the person that you are connected with. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.